This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Christmas Eve 2024, 7:15 now. Tim Zimmer, Manning Master Control, playing a Christmas music. Jordan Fiegel producing from his unknown location. You listening, that's what makes the whole thing important. Tim, you got to find the Carpenters, Merry Christmas, Darling, because it really is a Christmas Eve song. Weather is going to be kind of nice today, not so great tomorrow, but the weather is the least of Christmas, right? I mean, we'd like it to be cold and put us in that mood. Right now it's 51 degrees, going up to 70 today. Likewise tomorrow, however, you got to factor in an 80% chance for showers tomorrow. They're saying it might not be a washout, but just some passing showers here or there as you go over the hills and through the, well, we don't really have any hills here, but anyway, to Grandma's house, 60% chance for showers on Thursday, 77 for a high on Friday, but dry, 60% chance for showers on Saturday, then Sunday dry with highs near 70, and looking ahead to New Year's Eve, no rain, but we'll finish kind of unseasonably warm with highs near 70. Laura Adams joins us right now, award-winning author, speaker, host of Money Girl Podcast, 43 million downloads, and founder of The Money Stack. How you doing, Laura?
Hey there, doing great. Great to be with you.
Before we talk about this, tell me how you go. How does one develop a podcast that attracts 42 million downloads? Because that's quite
you
an
do
accomplishment.
It. Thank you. You do it a long time and you do it consistently. And I think over time, the audience just begins to trust you and, you know, they want to tune in and see what you have to say. So it's been a real joy developing that community.
And the podcast is called Money Girl.
That's right.
And you find it where?
Find it anywhere you get your podcast. Apple Podcast is very popular. Spotify. There's so many great apps that where you can get podcasts these days.
It'd be hard to miss it. Tell me about some research on unwanted gifts. Because one thing I used to have a problem with Christmas lore was, you know, I remember sitting there having conversations as a younger guy. You don't really have any money and you're financially stressed. And you got to go out and buy the brother-in-law a $20 sweater. And they go out and buy you a $20 sweater. Neither one of you wants to buy it. Neither one of you really wants to give it to the other. But you feel, and neither one really cares about getting it. And in the meantime, the department store's profiting off of this and nobody's really happy. Is that along the lines of what we're saying here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I work as a spokesperson for Finder.com. They've done this study several years in a row, and I really find it interesting because, as you said, it can be a stressful time of year financially, psychologically, for many folks, and buying gifts, especially if they're unwanted, seems like a real waste of money and time. So this year, we found that adults, 53% of adults, said they're going to receive at least one unwanted gift. So we're talking about 140 million Americans, and this translates into $10.1 billion in unwanted presents. So that's just a lot of money.
When we say unwanted, and I'm not trying to get too far in the weeds here, is that I wonder if that's defined by, oh, Lord, now I have to give them something. What the hell am I going to do with this? How do you define that? Do you know, Laura, how they defined it?
Yeah. So the Finder.com survey looked at folks who have received presents and asking them, what do you expect again this year? And so what we found most interesting is that it's clothes and accessories. 43% of the survey respondents said, when I talk about an unwanted gift, it is in the clothes and accessories category. So, you know, what I take away is that maybe if you're trying to give someone that tie or socks or a hat, maybe think twice about that. You know, when we look at the most unwanted gifts, it's probably those types of items. And so maybe think about giving something else that the recipient might be a little bit more excited about, like books. Mm-hmm. We found that those are very popular. Books, even food, drink, technology. These are the types of gifts that people say are more wanted this time of year.
What is that word used? What is it? Book?
Yeah, the old-fashioned literature, books, interestingly, are what people say they enjoy receiving versus the tie.
You can give somebody hours of entertainment and escapism. They can go anywhere they want if you give them a good book, and I think that's a great idea. And the thing, again, Laura, not to belabor the point, but that used to drive me crazy is, what is the point in buying each other a sweater that came from the same shelf, maybe a different color, and giving it to each other? That's just nuts, other than if you own the department store that sells the sweaters, right?
Absolutely. And you bring up a good point. The Finder.com study also found that people are re-gifting a lot. Fewer Americans are keeping the gifts that they get that are unwanted. More and more of them are re-gifting to somebody else. We found 39% said, yep, when I get that unwanted gift, I'm just going to wrap it up and give it to somebody else. So this is an increasing phenomenon. Whether that's right for you, who's to say? But you might also want to think about exchanging the unwanted gift if you got the receipt, maybe even selling it, going on a site like eBay or somewhere where you can thrift it and turn it around, versus keeping something that you don't really want.
Untie that ribbon and rip the paper open and open the box and look at that sweater, and the person says, do you like it? And the person receiving the gift says, do I like it? Sure I like it. That's why I bought it for you last year. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll pick it up, 7:21. If you have any questions about buying gifts or giving gifts, and I'd like you to weigh in on this, at 504-260-1870. And tell me about unwanted gifts. Do you get a lot of unwanted gifts? And if so, what is it about the gift that makes you not want it? And how do you handle gift giving in your family with extended family? Then people, brothers and sisters exchange gifts. And before you know it, they got kids and you can't buy for everybody. So they decide to get just for the kids. And they maybe pick names. And how much money will be spent worldwide? Our new friend, Laura Adams, award-winning author, speaker, host of the Money Girl podcast, available wherever you get your podcast, 43 million downloads, and founder of The Money Stack. I want to talk about that as well because I'm interested in Money Stack. 7:21, traffic now, WWL. We're talking about gifts. How much in gifts are bought, unwanted gifts? $10.1 billion up from $9.1 billion. And Laura, I've been talking about $20 sweaters, but there are no more $20 sweaters, really, are there? What's the average price of these gifts?
That's right. The Finder.com study found that we're talking about $72 per gift. So that really does add up. As you mentioned, we're talking $10 billion in unwanted presents. And that just seems really wasteful to me. Another thing to consider might be buying somebody an experience versus an item, whether that's going on a trip together, going somewhere that you can make a valuable memory together. That could be something somebody really appreciates much more than getting an unwanted present.
I was married for 38 years, and I was trying to think as during the commercial break if I ever bought my wife, that then wife, anything that she ever liked, and I don't know that I ever did. I don't know if it's different when it comes to spouses, when it comes to significant others, when it comes to distant relatives. Are there any recommendations financially that you would make to families about getting a handle on all of this?
Well, it does start with planning. I think if you can set a budget and decide ahead of time, what can I afford to spend? What is my overall budget? Then kind of make a list of everybody you need to buy a gift for, and then dividing that budget out and being realistic about, can I tip the hairdresser? Can I, give the mailman a tip? Whoever you want to tip, your teacher, kids' teachers. And then realizing, okay, I may need to either pare down that giving list or pare down the amount that I'm going to give. what happens is a lot of people get caught off guard. They find that, you know, they're buying too much, or they're needing to travel. They're needing to spend money on a party or an outfit. And those expenses end up getting charged on a credit card. And then we carry that credit card debt into the new year. And then it takes us months to pay it off. So if we can plan ahead, whether that means setting aside a budget or maybe even putting a little bit in a savings account that's just dedicated for the holidays, you're going to have a little bucket of money there that you're prepared to pay.
Ooh, having been there and done that with that January credit card bill coming in and realizing, wow, it was nice being Santa Claus, but now not so nice. What you said just now resonated with me, Laura Adams, and that is budget. And I don't know of many people that go into the Christmas season with a budget. They start making a list and checking it twice, but they don't check the budget first. And that really, when it comes to personal finance, the budget is everything. Is it not, budgeting?
It is. And you have to come up with that budget on your own. What is that? Is it, you know, 1% of your annual income that you want to spend on gifts, or is it a much smaller amount? What are your goals? You know, how does this budget for the holidays fit into other things you're trying to accomplish by the year end? Maybe if you're trying to put a little bit more in your retirement account by the end of the year, you know, maybe that means sacrificing a little bit on the holiday gifts. So you've got to figure out what is your priority. And hey, if spending a lot on the holidays is your priority, wonderful. But for many people, it does end up being something that they regret after the holidays. So really thinking about future, the future you, what are you going to be happy with in the new year? How do you want to start the new year? And really giving that a lot of thought. Also talking about it with your family. Maybe you all get together and say, we're going to limit the gifts this year. Maybe we only buy for the kids, or maybe we limit the cost of gifts per person to a lower amount. Come up with a plan that really makes sense for everybody and is going to move you closer to your goals in the new year.
How much do we have to spend? And if we don't have it, how do we intend to pay for it after? Thank you, Laura Adams. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays to you.
Same to you. Thanks so much.
You bet. Laura Adams, award-winning author, speaker, host of Money Girl Podcast, 43 million downloads, founder of the Money Stack. When we come back, we'll continue to talk finances. Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst, joins us to talk about 1 in 4 credit card rewards holders left free money on the table in 2024. You don't want that to happen. We'll talk about it when we come back on WWL. Not so much here. 744, 16 till 8. Highs today near 70. Same for tomorrow. Difference is tomorrow you're going to have an 80% chance for showers for Christmas Day. Unfortunately, it works out that way. But they're saying the showers could be passing and not necessarily a washout. You might hit one and miss one. Then the highs of 72 on Thursday, 76 on Friday, 75 on Saturday. Chance for rain both Friday and Saturday. Then dries out for Sunday. Sunday 71 for a high, 74 Monday. Then as we get to New Year's Eve and fireworks, New Year's Eve should be dry, highs of 73. Then it turns cooler for the first and second of the year, and then in the 60s through the 7th. Ted Rossman joins us now. Our friend, the Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst, talk about credit card rewards and money left on a table. Good morning, Ted. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays to you.
Yeah, same to you. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about these rewards. I charge everything on a credit card. Then I use the points that I get as a payment. So before we talk about leaving them on a table, let's talk about most effective use of those rewards. I don't want a blender. I don't want a toaster. I don't want a whatever. I use those points, and I forgot exactly how it turns out, to make like a payment when they get to be a sizable amount. Is there a better use for rewards points than that?
I can tell you that travel is often the most lucrative, but it's also the most complicated. So for that reason, cash back is actually Americans' favorite credit card reward. It's very simple. It's universal. You could get something like a 2%, no annual fee, cash back card. Just apply that as a statement credit or get that deposited into your bank account. That's very universally appealing. You could do better than that with certain airline cards, but it's more complicated.
I have a Chase Rewards, and I think I'm going to get like 70,000 points is worth $700. That makes sense?
It does. Yeah, that's a 1 cent per point or mile valuation, which is pretty common on cash back cards. Now, these are currencies. We should think of them that way. So, you know, whatever the airline is, the hotel, the credit card program, they all have different values. Maybe you can get 1.5 cents per point or mile with certain redemptions. The real fun is if you really exploit some of the loopholes in these programs, people who know what they're doing can sometimes get up to about 8 cents per point or mile. Now, that's really the high end, and it's not like you can do that all the time, but if you can find an $8,000 international first-class airline ticket for 100,000 points or miles, there are people who really treat this like a game. Mm-hmm. It is complicated, though, and that's why for most people it's better to just go with cash back. But you know what? The worst reward is nothing at all, and it pains me to say that 1 in 4 rewards cardholders didn't get any value over the past year because they didn't redeem anything. That's really the missed opportunity.
Once you earn them, Ted, is the clock ticking on rewards? Do they go away? How long do you have to redeem them? Or does it depend card to card?
It depends on the program. Credit card rewards don't typically expire as long as you're in good standing with the card issuer. So a good tip there is, well, one, don't go afoul of the rules by paying late or something. But also, if you ever happen to close a card, use the rewards before you close it. Airline and hotel points and miles, those do tend to expire. It depends on the program. Hotel points often expire within a year. Airlines, maybe they give you a year or two. Sometimes they don't expire. But especially with those travel providers, that's where you're more likely to see an expiration than on a credit card.
Let's talk about, if we can, are there better cards than others in terms of cash back, or does it depend on your credit rating?
Generally speaking, when it comes to rewards, we are looking for people with better credit. So it doesn't have to be top notch, but maybe at least pretty good. You know, maybe at least a credit score of 670 or better, good to excellent credit. You have to pay in full, by the way, for this to be worth it. It doesn't make sense to pay 20% interest to get 2 or 3 or 4% in cash back or airline miles. Half of cardholders pay in full every month. So we're really talking to them. I'm a big fan of no annual fee, 2% cash back cards as actually a surprisingly hard option to beat for the most people. You know, it doesn't get as many headlines as the Amex Platinum or the Chase Sapphire Reserve. Those are fancy travel cards that are going to get you into the airport lounge. And they have great benefits too, but they also have hefty annual fees, you know, several hundred dollars a year. I would say a 2% cash back card, the Wells Fargo Active Cash, the Citi Double Cash, something like that really has mass appeal.
Can a credit card company, and this just struck me as you talked about closing the card or if you have points, can they seize the points and apply it to a payment if you're late?
They can definitely take the points away. I actually don't think it gets applied to the payment, so it's kind of a double whammy. It's like you still owe the payment and you can lose the rewards. You can lose rewards if you go delinquent, and you know that's something that we want to ward against. The credit card delinquency rate's actually at its highest point since 2011, so the credit card market has had an interesting year. Now, there's still tremendous value there if you're among those who pay in full, but if you are somebody who's getting into trouble, you know, honestly, maybe it makes sense to stick to cash or debit. You don't want to dig the hole any deeper. You know, I mentioned the average credit card rate is about 20%. This is why people say credit cards are like power tools. They can be really useful or dangerous. It's all about how you use them. I mean, sadly, there are people falling behind and racking up a lot of debt. The average credit card balance is $6,400, according to TransUnion. But then you have the other half of cardholders who pay in full. They don't owe interest. They're getting tremendous benefits. It really is this proverbial tale of two cities.
I'm going to tell a story myself here, Ted, about 10 years ago, going through a not pleasant divorce. I tried to, and I was going to a person's house, and I tried to charge $50 of bakery items, and I was over my limit. I don't think I've ever had a lower point in my life. Those days are behind me, thank God. But it can get out of hand quickly, especially if you're going through some kind of life-changing event like that. I'm surprised the IRS hasn't started nosing around these cashback points, have they?
Credit card rewards are not taxable because it's viewed as a rebate on spending. That's the legal technicality. So you don't have to pay taxes on these. One related sort of exception, I'll say, is if you get money for opening a new bank account or something like that, that typically is taxable, but that's a little bit of a different case. I mean, it's a different rewards example, but, you know, sometimes they say open this new bank account, and if you keep, I don't know, $5,000 in there for 3 months, we'll give you like a $200 bonus. That sort of thing is taxable, but credit card rewards are not, because it's viewed as a rebate on spending. So that's the technicality that gets us around the taxes.
All right, let me take a break. We'll go through Reward Redemption 101 when we come back. We're talking to our friend Ted Rossman, who is the Bankrate senior industry analyst. Nearly, one in four credit card rewards holders left free money on the table in 2024. You don't want that to happen. 752 Traffic Now, WWL. 7:56, 4 till 8, Tommy Tucker, Christmas Eve, talking to Ted Rossman, Bankrate senior industry analyst. Nearly one in four credit card rewards holders leave free money on a table. So what's, like, the best way to take advantage of these credit card rewards? How do consumers who might be one of these four go about it, Ted?
People who really play the game, and it is a game, by the way, to some. I mean, I know people who have 30 credit cards that have great credit and get great benefits. You don't want to get there overnight. Don't open too many cards in short order. I wouldn't open more than a couple a year. But people who really gamify this go to the travel side of things. There's a website called The Points Guy that's owned by the same parent company as my organization. And, you know, they really go deep into the rabbit hole of all these transfer partners. And, you know, international first-class airfare is really where the biggest bang for your buck comes in. That's where, instead of that standard 1 cent per point that you might get for cash back, I mean, this is where people are getting 6, 7, 8 cents per point or mile. They're getting an $8,000 airline ticket for 100,000 points. You can sometimes get 100,000 points just for signing up for the right credit card. So that's a related bit of advice is, you know, yeah, it's great to earn from your everyday spending, but those sign-up bonuses can be huge. If you smartly sign up for those, you know, maybe one or two cards a year that are really targeted at categories in which you spend money and get great rewards, that could go a long way.
And thoughts heading into the new year about credit card debt and getting out of it if you're already in it?
If you have credit card debt, forget about rewards for now. You really want to prioritize your interest rate. Don't pay 20 or 30% to get a lot less than that in rewards. Get a 0% balance transfer card. It may not have rewards, but a card like the Wells Fargo Reflect or the Citi Simplicity that offers 21 months with no interest, that's a huge tailwind for paying down your debt. Credit card rates have only backed off a little bit from record highs seen earlier this year, and credit card balances are at record highs. They're up 51% from the beginning of 2021. A lot of people are wrestling with credit card debt. I would point you to the balance transfer card or nonprofit credit counseling. A firm like Money Management International or GreenPath, they can really help you out negotiating something like a 7 or 8% rate over 4 or 5 years and walking you through the payoff process.
For people that do find themselves in a life-changing situation like I did 10 years ago, Ted, and thankfully, hope, praise God, I'll never do that again or wind up in that situation again. What advice would you give them if they do find themselves in a situation where the only thing they can do is run up the credit card? Are there other options?
There are, yeah. The balance transfer approach is really for people with better credit. So I would say if you're in a distressing situation, nonprofit credit counseling definitely still comes to the top of the list. Call somebody like Money Management International or ask your card company for a hardship benefit. Sometimes they'll waive some interest or fees or let you skip a payment. Ask the card company if they can give you a break.
The other thing I would suggest is not getting divorced. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you for having me. Merry Christmas.
Same to you, sir. I appreciate your time. Ted Rossman, Bankrate senior industry analyst. What's that old country song, Cheaper to Keeper? We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk about the bonfires in St. James Parish. We always like to do this every year, give you a I guess like a user-friendly look at this. We'll talk to St. James Sheriff Claude Lewis at 808 and get the lowdown on the bonfires this evening in St. James Parish, where to park, how to get there, how to see them, et cetera, because I think a lot of people like to see them or want to see them, but they're hesitant because they don't know about the drive-in and this and that and the other thing. So we'll walk you through that. Then we'll talk to Ronald Surpass. A lot coming up, WWL.